This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we go, hour two of the show. Got lots of LSU baseball to talk about. Brian Lazar of Tiger Bait, 920. And then we'll go national to talk to Aaron Fitt of D1 Baseball. A little LSU with him, but also lay of the land nationally. First, though, before we get to LSU baseball, remember the NFL draft is this week, and Thursday kicks off our coverage. We'll have 3 days of wall-to-wall coverage, really better and more comprehensive than most of the networks. It all starts Thursday at 4 with the Saints draft preview as Zach Streif and Deuce McAllister. And get Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, lots of the Saints brass and coaches just hours before the draft begins. Don't miss radio Thursday at 4. And then at 6, game time with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottiglia, and Christian Garrick. Joined by Zach a little bit later as the draft unfolds. No Saints pick in that first round, but they'll be covering the draft. And look, you never know. The Saints certainly could move that far up. We know how aggressive they are. Friday, you can join us at Desi Vegas Seafood and Prime Steaks in the heart of Metairie. That's at Heritage Plaza from 4 to midnight. Great new location for Draft Fest Friday. That'll feature Deuce live from Nashville, and he'll call the name of that Saints first pick if it is on Friday. Then Saturday, you can join us at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar in Covington for Saints Draft Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. I had a great time last year doing the show with Steve Court. We'll be doing it again up there. Big time fun, and I hope you can join us. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll tonight at WWL.com and the Radio.com app. Should the Saints trade up in the draft? And cash your vote there. There was about 50-50 a little bit ago. And we'll keep an eye on that throughout the show. Look, LSU baseball, they had a very good weekend after game one. We talked about game one on Thursday, that 16-9 thrashing at the hand of Florida, a game when LSU was down 13-0 at one point. It was one of the worst moments in the Palminteri era at LSU. He looked completely dejected. Most LSU players looked dejected. And fans were openly wondering, and sports talk radio was openly wondering, look, is the bottom fallen completely out of this for LSU? Or have they reached a point of no return? Now, I said it was too early for that talk when you consider how many injuries that they had had, and you consider the late season success that this team has enjoyed under Palminteri pretty much year after year. It's four straight losses to that point for LSU. Two against Mizzou the previous week, and he also had a loss to the Raging Cajuns in the Wally Pontiff Classic in the middle of the week. You know what happened? All of a sudden, the bats woke up for LSU. They score 13 runs on Friday in a 13-1 win, and then they score 11 on Saturday in that 11-2 win against Florida. That's 24 runs in a couple of games, and in fact, look at how the bats woke up that entire series. 33 runs in that series from LSU. They started to rake once again. And they've got to get healthy. Especially their pitching staff. Especially Zach Hess. They've got to have him on Fridays. We told you at the beginning of the season that Zach Hess might not be the perfect fit to be a Friday night starter for LSU or in the SEC, but he was the best that this team had, and he had to be good and consistently good for them to reach the heights that they want. And at the beginning of the year, that was pretty much a College World Series appearance or bust, and there was national championship aspirations around that. Now, none of those have evaporated yet. What is starting to get close to evaporating for LSU baseball is a national seed. There is still time to save that. They have four series left in the SEC. Alabama this week, that's a winnable series. Then you get Ole Miss at home. Then Arkansas. At Arkansas, who is one of the best teams in the country and leading the SEC West by one game over LSU. And then he closes it out against a ranked Auburn team at the box. This week remains critical. because you're going to face three ranked teams in the final three series in SEC play. I don't know if that 20-win plateau that you kind of look at, what LSU would need to get to 20 wins in the SEC, you'd be 20-10. That means they go 9-3 down the stretch. That's tough. That's really tough. That's one series sweep, and then three series where you win those series 2-1. That's a tough ask. And LSU's RPI now is outside of the 20s. I don't know if a national seed, a top eight national seed, which would mean they would host that super regional, should it they make it that far. Not saying it's not achievable, it's just the odds of that have gone way down with what LSU has done the past few weeks. Just because you don't host that super regional doesn't mean you can't make that trip to the College World Series. And there's still time for LSU to make that run. Maybe it's not 20 wins they need to get to. Maybe in this ultra-competitive SEC, you get to 18, 19 wins, you win the SEC West, and you make a run in the SEC tournament. That will be enough. And I'll remind everybody, and everybody who's the sky is falling crowd for LSU, they're only one game out of first place in the SEC West. They're only two games behind Georgia for the best record in the SEC. This was always going to be a meat grinder. This was always going to be a conference that will beat you up, chew you up, and spit you out in conference play. Which didn't see the injuries coming. It didn't see the midweek inconsistency coming, not with a roster coming into the season that was so talented. But right now, LSU third place in the SEC West, half game behind Texas A&M, one game behind Arkansas. You can quickly close the gap there. If you win two or three against Alabama, hopefully for LSU's sake, it's three. Alabama just 4-14 in conference play. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to Brian Lazar, senior writer covering LSU baseball for TigerBait.com. That comes your way next here on The Last Lap. LSU baseball, did they save their season with a couple of big bounce-back wins against Florida? That's what we're talking about here. Welcome back to the show. And as promised, Brian Lazar, senior Tiger senior writer covering Tiger baseball at TigerBait.com, comes on into the program now. Brian is still celebrating. Everybody's still celebrating the Woodward hire over there.
Yeah, everybody is. They're all excited and looking forward to to the press conference tomorrow, which is open to the public.
Yeah, it's what an incredible week. We'll get to LSU baseball in just a second, but in the 1 week you had Oliva stepping down, you had the reinstatement of Will Wade, then you had the Woodward hire, and now Will Wade doesn't have to testify. What an incredible week for the Tigers, Brian.
Had all kinds of things going on, and you talk about Will Wade, and Greg Sankey had a get together with media members today in Birmingham talking about, the officiating, football officiating. And he was asked a little bit about, the Will Wade situation. And he just said, well, we're just going to watch and see what happens. LSU did what they felt was the right thing to do at this time as regards the reinstatement. We'll just have to wait and see how it progresses in the future.
It doesn't sound like the Will Wade situation is over, although – I mean, the SEC is not going to have really any power in this, are they, Brian?
Well, no, but, they're going to be in communication with LSU. I mean, the final decision will be LSU's, but I think, look, we just have to, let everything play out as regards this whole situation.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's get to LSU baseball. Did they save their season with that series win against Florida, especially considering how that Thursday game went with them trailing 13-0 and Paul Mainieri looking like he didn't want to be anywhere near the box at that point?
Well, I don't know if we can say they've saved the season yet. They certainly, a series loss to Florida would put them in a bad situation. I mean, as it was, some of the teams that they're chasing, and Georgia, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, those three teams all swept this week. So even though LSU won two out of three, they lost ground to those three teams. And, as you get to this point of the season, everybody's talking about, okay, who can be a regional host? And normally the situation in the SEC is that, you know, the four best teams host. Some years you may get five, but most of the times the four best teams, you know, the SEC is going to get four hosts. And so LSU right now is sort of a little bit on the cusp of that, you know, being that fourth team. You know, I really think today, you know, Georgia, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas are definitely the top three teams. And then I think you have, you know, Mississippi State, LSU, Texas A&M. Those three may be the next ones grouped together. And at least LSU beat both Mississippi State and Texas A&M in series, so that helps them. But look, it's pretty simple. LSU goes on the road this weekend. They go to Alabama, the Tide, you know, one of the worst teams in the SEC. If LSU is you know, going to stay right in the thick of being able to be a regional host and obviously to have a chance to win the conference title, you know, they have to win two out of three and more than likely probably need a sweep this weekend in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, indeed. And the 20-win threshold, that plateau in SEC play that Paul Maneri's talked about and really Sports Talk has talked about in the blogs, that doesn't seem like it's look, anything's achievable. I understand that by the technicality of it, but that would be winning nine games in these four series. And Brian, do they really need to get to that 20-win mark to host? I mean, if they win 18, 19 conference games and then go on a run in a conference tournament, they could still host, right?
Yeah, I don't think they have to win 20 to host. I think they would have to win 20 to be a national seed, you know, be one of the top eight national seeds. But I don't think they'd have to get to 20 conference wins. Normally, 18 does the trick. You know, if you win 18 conference games, you're going to be one of the top four teams. So that's the number you're looking at. And, you know, still for LSU to get to 18 conference wins, that would mean 7-5 over this last month. And look, Alabama is, you know, obviously the weakest team of the four LSU has remaining. After that, they have Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Auburn. And all three of those teams will definitely be in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, Arkansas has proven to be one of the better teams in the conference.
Brian Lazar, senior writer covering LSU baseball for TigerBait.com, here with us at BLador on Twitter. And the Bats woke up in a big way. 33 runs, Brian, in this series. And Josh Smith back at the top of the order. He is now hitting over 350, three hits on Sunday. And Antoine Duplantis, who'd been slumping, well, he broke out of that slump with four RBIs on Sunday. This was that mashing lineup that we kind of thought we'd see all season long. And here they are.
Yeah, and here's, you know, they picked on a pitching staff that's really struggled this year, particularly on the road. Florida has played nine SEC road games this year. Their record is 1-8. They have given up double-digit runs in all but two. So they have really struggled on the road in the conference. And you know, it was just a matter of time. You know, the Florida pitching staff was certainly something which LSU needed to see, and you know, they swung the bats real well. But the whole key to everything still is starting pitching, because if were it not for the fact that you got a good start from Cole Henry on Friday and a good start from Eric Walker from Saturday, that's the reason why LSU was able to win the series. Because look at what happened on Thursday night. You know, the reverse happened. Florida got off to the good start because LSU got a poor start from Mikhail Hilliard. So the starting pitching set the tone in the second and third games of the series, because it wasn't LSU got nine runs and 16 hits on Thursday night, and that wasn't good enough because their starting pitcher, you know, didn't do the job. So, yes, they swung the bats well. The team batting average for the series was .402. That's pretty incredible. But like I wrote my analysis piece over the weekend after the series, it's the two quality starts from Henry and Walker that was the biggest story of the weekend for the Tigers.
What do we know about some of the Tigers who are either coming off injuries or still injured? Zach Watson, we saw Zach Hess for a 2-3 in that series finale. What do we know about some of the injured Tigers?
I think Paul Maneri is hoping that Zach Watson and Chris Reed will be able to play this weekend in Tuscaloosa. Brock Mathis, the starting catcher, could have played Sunday or Saturday, but he elected to go with Saul Garza behind the plate. Still not sure about Hal Hughes, but Hess, Paul, when he met with the media today, wasn't ready to say that, okay, Hess will go back and make a start this weekend against Alabama. So, but it does look like that Zach Watson and Chris Reed, I don't think they're going to play tomorrow night against Lamar, but I think that sounds like they'll be in the lineup Friday against Alabama.
Of course, the new athletic director is going to be introduced tomorrow, Scott Woodward. And there's some, and maybe many, out in Tigerland, you know this, especially on your site, Brian, who have said Paul Menary should be on the hot seat for the Tigers' struggle this year. Now that there's the new athletic director, do you think that that's true? Do you think his seat is warm at all?
They were the national runner-ups 2 years ago. And I don't think that... Look, did LSU host a regional last year? No. And if LSU would not host a regional again this year, yeah, I think that there would be some people that would attract some attention to where he would probably, you know, they say, okay, next year, let's bounce back and have a good season. But, I don't foresee that right now. That Menary was going to be in any trouble. You know, he's got a contract all the way to 2024, and I really think his plans are that at the end of the contract for him to retire. So I don't necessarily think that see him coaching past the 2024 season. Now, that being said, that's still five more years. Mm-hmm. So, but again, I think we're getting ahead of the boat here, and let's see how this season plays out.
Sure.
Florida, they won the national championship 2 years ago. I don't know if they're going to make the NCAA tournament this year.
No, I'm with you. Look, for the record, I think the talk of firing Menary is just silly talk. Brian, we're up against the clock. I always appreciate the chat, though, man. We'll do it again soon. Thanks so much.
Enjoyed it. Talk to you later. Thanks.
All right. Here's a text from the 985. He, talking about Zach Hess, may very well be the best LSU has, but Hess has always been a better mid to late game reliever than a starter. I don't disagree with that at all. In fact, any of that. He's better suited for a relief role or a closer's role. And I think his professional future will be just that. He's got to be a Friday night starter. And look at the disaster. And I like Mikhail here. I'm on record, and we've done a few shows just on how good he is, and at least part of those young LSU Tigers that have come onto the program last couple of years. But Mikhail Hillier, the gap between he and Zach Hess as a Friday night starter is just so large. That goes to show you why LSU must have Hess at his best on Friday nights and well into the postseason. Let's take a look at the NHL scoreboard tonight. One game in the books, the Carolina Hurricanes. They stay alive with a 5-2 win over the Caps. That series now goes to a Game 7 and heads back to Washington. Right now, end of the second period, the Dallas Stars trying to close out their series against the Predators. Tied 1-1. We'll keep an eye on that one. Over in the NBA, the Bucks looking like they're going to close out the Pistons. 120-92. Milwaukee and the Greek Freak getting it done late in the fourth quarter. And just about to tip off in a few moments, it's the Rockets up 3-0 on the Utah Jazz. Rockets 2.5-point favorites tonight. Harden's averaging 36 points a game in that series so far. I suppose no surprise there. A look at our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Should the Saints trade up in the draft? 72% of you saying no, they should not. So many assets they've given away the last couple of years. I don't think that's necessarily the wrong answer, but expecting the Saints not to make any moves, I don't think that maybe realize the history of this franchise. Remember, they don't have any. Not only don't have a first-round pick, they don't have a third or a fourth-round pick. I would not be surprised at all to see them use some of the picks they have in rounds 5 and 6 to move up and maybe even move a player. Maybe. I'm not necessarily saying it's going to happen, but they'll be active. That's one of the reasons I can't wait to watch it. even though they don't have that first-round pick. Just, you're going to be wanting to stay tuned and stay tuned to us on Thursday, because once they get past, you know, the first half of that round, you never know what will happen here. If there's a top 10 pick that falls all the way down to the mid or late 20s, a pick you had on your board, if you're the Saints as a top 10 guy, then you would certainly look at moving up. We'll have it for you Thursday through Saturday. Wall-to-wall coverage right here on WWL. Also tomorrow on Sports Talk with Bobby, Deuce, and Christian, who are the can't-miss players this year in the draft, and they'll reevaluate the Saints' 2018 draft class. One that I'm not sure if you've soured on. I think in my personal opinion, jury's still out on that. It depends on how Marcus Davenport continues to develop. Let's go to the phone lines. Derek and Gonzalez, you want to talk NFL draft? Go ahead.
Hey, Seth. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Derek. I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. I don't think, per se, that we should move up in the draft. And, I mean, the reason we're in this position and we don't have any third or fourth rounds is because we gave up, you know, moved up last year to get Marcus Davenport,
sure.
which I don't for – I mean, I don't have nothing against the guy personally. I mean, I looked at some of his stuff at San Antonio. I just personally don't think he will be ready to be the man that they're looking for him to be in the next 2 or 3 years. I just don't see it.
Yeah, well, Derek, I have the same reservations on Marcus Davenport. I've said that from the beginning of when he's drafted, but just because I have reservations doesn't mean he's not going to be that player. The Saints are still extremely high on him. Now, they might make those statements in public like Mickey Loomis did today, and we'll play that. Logan, go ahead and find that Mickey Loomis cut on Marcus Davenport. We'll play it here. But it doesn't mean, just because I have that opinion, that Marcus Davenport's not going to work out. We still need to see him healthy. He was not very productive late in the season because he had that foot issue. That certainly was a part of it. He was very productive leading into that. Jury's still out, and he's got to produce in year two and year three more than he did in year one. But I think he was, my own expectations for him, I said around a handful of sacks, rotational player, be a factor, I think would be sufficient in year one. That's kind of what he was, especially before he had that injury. Here's Mickey Loomis on Marcus Davenport. They should be looking for big things from him, especially when he was drafted and where he was drafted in the first round. We'll break when we come back. We'll go national. Aaron Fitt, who covers college baseball for D1Baseball.com, will give us the lay of the land in college baseball. We'll also talk a little Tigers and SEC. That comes your way next here on The Last Lap. A look at our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll right now. Should the Saints trade up in the draft? And the nose still running away with this one. 77% saying no. Quick look at the NBA scoreboard. The Bucks, they defeated the Pistons 127-104. And right now, the Jazz trying to stay alive against the Rockets 20-15. They have a lead in the first period. In the NHL, we had one game earlier today complete. The Carolina Hurricanes 5-2 over the Caps. They stay alive in that series. And right now, mid third period, the Stars and Predators knotted up at one goal apiece. The Stars, with a win, would close out that series. The Predators trying to get it back to Nashville. One more hour of the show to go, and we've got a good one. Paul Maneri. We'll hear from the LSU skipper. He was on Sports Talk earlier. And I talked to Joel Myers. Over the weekends, we talked David Griffin and the bright future for the Pelicans. Joel Myers on in at 10:32 plus Sports Lips. 2 hours down, one to go. Logan behind the glass. I'm Seth Dunlap, and this is The Last Lap here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.